So I have been reading through the Bible. I've started in Genesis, and I'm working my way all the way to the end. Of course, I haven't quite reached there yet, since it's a rather lengthy book. But in reading through the early pages of the Bible, I was struck by how many times there are stories of corruption and then destruction. People who have taken it upon themselves and become corrupt and then end up being destroyed in one shape or another. And we know from the very early beginnings of the Bible, you can see in Genesis 6 and verse 5 and 6, God says that he was looking at man, and he saw that their thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. It says in this verse, that God was grieved in his heart that he had even made man. They had become so evil. It pained him so much that so early on, man was so corrupt. And what happened, as we know, the flood, the destruction of almost all human beings. Let's also take a look at Deuteronomy 31. And we'll begin in verse 25. Deuteronomy 31, in verse 25, it says, actually, let's start in verse 24. And so it was when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and put it besides the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, that it may be there as a witness against you." Verse 27, "For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearings and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." Moses could see the tendency of the children of Israel. He saw that even while he was alive, they, did evil. And he commanded the Levites to take this book of the law, to put it next to the Ark of the Covenant, as a witness for them, so that they could hopefully remember and comply with the words that we find in this Bible. Now, some people say that evil is inherent. It's built into our DNA. But we know that currently Satan is the ruler of this world. He's deceiving. He's broadcasting. He's trying to get everyone around his thoughts and his ideas. But is it just a matter of being born into wrongness? Let's look, turn to Romans 2, verse 11, and we'll read to verse 15. Actually, let's just start at verse 14. Romans 2 and verse 14 says, "For when Gentiles," those who aren't a part of the church, "the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them." You see, the choice is always peoples, whether they choose to do good or to do evil. Look at Jonah and Nineveh. Nineveh was an exceedingly evil city at the time of Jonah. God sent Jonah to warn these people to change their ways. And what did they do? They changed their ways. And so God delayed the destruction at that time. He gave these people a chance and an opportunity to change. And they did, for the time being. But then we have the exact opposite in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you will, Genesis 18 and verse 20. Genesis 18 and verse 20 and 21 says, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know." Let's contrast this with Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, verse 49 and 50, which says, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit." Now, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, these people had lost all restraint. They had gone so far that God couldn't even find 10 good people in these cities. We know from the story of Lot in that city that the two angels that came to visit him, the men of the city, were trying to have sexual relations with these men. Part of the problem that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you will, let's turn to Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse 18. Romans 1 and verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became foolish in their futile hearts, and their thoughts and their hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Verse 24, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves." And verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters and haters of God, violent and proud." And the list goes on. So we can see here that it's not just homosexuality that is wrong and condemned by God, but it seems to be the end result of a civilization that ends up choosing not to obey God. When people want God out of the picture, they do everything they can to get away from him, to get away from truth. And so we see that God lets them reap the fruit of their ways. Now, as a Christian, it's easy to read these words, to understand them, hopefully. But we have to be careful that we don't get haughty, that we don't look down on people while not seeing our own faults and issues. Let's quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10 talk about people who we just read about in Romans. But let's read verse 11. It says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Verses 9 of 1 Corinthians 6 also says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." Therefore, it is possible to deceive ourselves through the acts of unrighteousness. As Paul says, such were some of you, but you've been washed. Don't go backwards. Stand firm at all times. How vitally important is it to us? Do we make it a priority to make sure we're looking at ourselves constantly? You know, corruption can take on many, many forms. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 states that we shouldn't even let corrupt communication come out of our mouths. So being careful what we think, what we say, because inevitably that becomes what we do. Well, we know that the world is winding down. It's grinding to a halt because of the corruption that is continually growing. And it's going to become harder and harder for true Christians to remain faithful to the faith. Look at Lot. He barely escaped with his life. Most of his immediate family ended up perishing. They were so entrenched in the society, the little city that they were living in, they couldn't see past. Look what Christ said about the city of Capernaum in Matthew 11 and verse 23. He says, "Had the mighty works which had been done to you been done in Sodom, that city would still be standing to this day." We each have our part to play. Now, it's easy to stand up here and to speak these words. Maybe it's easy to sit here week after week in services and just nod our heads. Yes, that sounds great. That sounds good. But what do we take away and what do we apply? We have to stand apart from the crowd. We have to be able to sigh and cry over the evil abominations that are being done in this world. And we have to do this while being able to stand fast and hold on to what is true and to what is dear.